fit on the band. Of course, she'll grow, and the setting would have to be redone to permit the band to be resized. I suppose if we went with the 4 and put it in a plastic sizer, that might work. Then the plastic sizer could come out when she's a bit bigger. After that, the ring would need to be resized again. She was chattering, and she couldn't stop. The dilemma, she wanted to say, is that people don't buy engagement rings for children.
Whatever'll work, the man said. How long will it take?
Oh, I should think it could be ready by Friday afternoon. He and the girl both looked disappointed, but he nodded. Miss Humphreys wrote out the ticket in an unusually crooked hand for her, glancing up at them as she did it. They didn't touch, even by accident. The girl stood with her hands clasped behind her. He kept a thumb hooked in a belt loop and the other hand in his pocket. When Miss Humphreys laid the ticket on the counter, he pulled his hand out of his pocket, removing a roll of bills held with a rubber band. He snapped the rubber band off and began counting out $100 bills. She felt corrected for having assumed he couldn't afford the ring. The resizing fee will be adjusted, because so much excess gold will be removed. After that's weighed, we'll refund that amount to account for it. She watched the bills pile up, and when he finished, she counted them into the cash drawer. You've given me one too many.
That's for you, for being so nice, he said.
Well, that's not...
It'll be ready Friday?
Yes.
Thanks.
A moment later, they were out the door, leaving her to stare at the $100 bill. In more than 40 years behind the jewelry counter, she had never before been tipped. When the man and the girl returned on Friday, Clifford was at the counter. He was about to make his own less diplomatic discouragement speech, but Miss Humphreys intervened. Ah, here you are, she said in the same bright voice she had used before to try to send them away. Clifford, they're here for the resized ring with the star sapphires. Her brother raised his eyebrow, but rose stiffly and went to the back room. He had said more than a few choice words about resizing an adult's engagement ring to fit a child. When he returned with the ticket and the velvet presentation box, he still had his eyebrow up. Worse, he stood at Miss Humphrey's elbow while she counted out the refund for the gold removed from the ring. It made her glad she hadn't mentioned the extra $100 which had gone discreetly into her purse, instead of the till. Well, shall we make sure it fits? She said after she closed the cash drawer. Now that the moment came to open the box, Miss Humphreys didn't know how to proceed.
Normally, when it was a regular ring, she laid it out on the velvet mat for the customer to try on.
When it was an engagement ring, the man usually opened the box, and sometimes they had a little impromptu pre-wedding right there in the store. Miss Humphreys loved those moments. When the woman got starry-eyed and the man looked thrilled and mildly terrified, it was the closest she ever got to romance outside a movie theater. She passed the box to the man, and after a momentary hesitation, he opened it and took out the ring. It looked ridiculously small, pinched between his thumb and finger. The girl didn't hesitate. She held out her hand, and he slipped the ring onto her narrow finger. The setting was too large for her hand, but the plastic sizer had done the trick for the band. It turned out to be one of those moments Miss Humphreys loved. The girl looked at the ring on her finger and up at the man with sparkling eyes. He looked nervous, but happy. They were not father and daughter. Romance, for better or for worse. When the man leaned down over the girl, Miss Humphreys thought he would kiss her. Instead, he said,
"Now you know, okay? From here on out, only you. I promise."
The girl nodded. His gaze flicked to Miss Humphreys and he blushed.
"Thanks."
"Thank you. I hope she enjoys the ring. Don't forget your box, dear, and I'm sending you some jewelry cleaner, too." On impulse, she reached under the counter for it. The sapphires are delicate, and they need to be cleaned properly.
After they were gone, Clifford said, "There's something very wrong there. I wish you'd talked to me before you sold them the ring."
"And what would you have done?" "He paid in cash." Going to the front window, Miss Humphreys looked out. Across the street, the two stood next to a motorcycle, the girl smiling as she buckled on her helmet. After she climbed on the cycle, the man ducked his head, and then he kissed her. 4. Kuchen.
Jesse Joe come back to the shop with Wavy, her looking happy for a change. Girl that age ought not to have so many troubles, but she did. Looking at it that way, them two was about made for each other. He'd swum his share of sorrows. That day, they was both smiling. "Well, you're sure in a fine mood," I said. I figured she'd do what she always did, give me that shy smile and dart off like a spooked cat. But no, she waltzed right over and held out her hand like she was the Queen of England. On her finger was a diamond ring, bigger than the one my Paola wore for 40 years. "That is a real pretty ring. Where did you get that?" Damned if she didn't open her mouth and say, "Kellen and I are getting married." He got this real uneasy look on his face and said, "I don't know if you better tell people that, Wavy." She frowned at him, so I knew they were going to have a few words once she got him alone. Instead of going in the office, though, he changed his mind and they got back on the bike and left. He come back an hour later by himself and went into the office. I followed him, just meaning to talk to him about the Lewiston's lawnmower, but Jesse Joe closed the door so Roger wouldn't hear us. Then he sat down in his chair and gave me a hard look. I didn't know how to feel about that, because I don't think business partners ought to give each other them kind of looks. "Before you start in, old man, I'm not going to marry her." "Well, she thinks you are. Don't know if you noticed that. It's not what it looks like. I'm not that kind of guy." "I didn't say a word." "No, you just come in here and give me that look," he said. "Now see here, I didn't give you no look. Your business is your business." I could see it was going to be a while before we got to talking lawnmowers, so I parked my old bones in the other chair. Jesse Joe reached back to the icebox and pulled out 2 Cokes, slid one across the desk to me. His way of apologizing. "You know," I said, "I married Paola when she was 14. And I was 26. Her parents had 11 kids, and they was glad to get her settled." "Those were different days, Mr. Kuchen. I don't suppose you could marry a 14-year-old these days." "That may be. Only thing is, why'd you buy her a ring if you ain't planning on marrying her? You go talking that way, you're gonna break her heart." Now, I didn't set out to make him feel guilty, but women are sensitive about those things, especially 13-year-old women. Lord, my oldest girl, by the time she was 10, you couldn't hardly tease her about nothing before she'd rear up and say, "Stop treating me like a child." "I love her," he said in this low voice. "I want to take care of her." "I can see how she trusts you, and that ain't a small thing to a girl like her." Truth was, she took care of him as much as he did her. There was a few times when he was younger that I thought to myself, "One of these days, he ain't gonna show up for work, 'cause he'll be at home with a gun in his mouth." I had an uncle did that. Jesse Joe was a man with a deep streak of lonely, until Wavy came along. "Nobody else looks out for her," he said. Her folks were trouble. Never saw nothing to fix it in my mind as certain, but I had me a suspicion Liam Quinn was into some bad dealings. That's how it was for Paola. Her folks couldn't hardly feed themselves, and with the army set to send me home, I couldn't leave her in Italy to starve. Them was dark days after the armistice. That's why you need to watch yourself. If there's nobody else looking after that girl, she's got to be able to count on you. Look at the old man giving advice he ain't been asked for. "She can count on me," Jesse Joe said. "Then you can't be making her promises you don't intend to keep. If you don't plan to get married, why'd you tell her you was?" "Because I love her, and I want her to know I mean that. And I know me saying I love her, that's one thing, and the ring is a whole other deal. But that's what she wanted. It's a big deal to her. To me, too. That's why I bought her a nice ring, not some cheap piece of shit." "How much did you spend, if you don't mind my asking?" I thought I'd overstepped, but it was hard to tell with him. Kind of man who come to work the day of his mama's funeral and never said a word. He stood up, made me think I had gone too far because he was a big man. He didn't shift that bulk around unless he had to, like watching a grizzly bear heave up on his hind legs. A smart man'd think about making himself scarce. All's Jesse Joe did was pull out his wallet, toss a receipt on the desk, and set back down. I leaned over and took a look. More'n $2,000. Well, I don't believe I did it justice when I said it was a pretty ring. Same as I paid for my panhead. It's a good bike. He laughed, figuring me for a superstitious old man. But it was good luck, him having a bike the same age as him. Didn't seem too much to pay for the ring, as happy as it made her, he said. It'd make you happy, too, if you'd let it. Ain't nothing wrong with thinking you're gonna marry her someday. I knew I was gonna marry Paola the first time I met her, and she was only 13. I didn't touch her till we was married, but I knew. Truth was, we did fool around some, but not much, 'cause Paola was a good Catholic. I just want Wavy to know I'm gonna be there for her. I don't think she'll grow up and want to marry me. Why would she? She can do a whole lot worse than you, far as I can tell. I'm not even the kind of guy girls go home with at last call. Never mind the guy they marry. Them's two different things entirely, son. Speaking of last call, you got any more of that bourbon in the drawer? Hallelujah, he did. Not that I'm big on drinking in the middle of the day, but I could do with a drop if we was going to keep jawing about serious things. Jesse Joe gave me the bottle and I tipped out a little into my Coke. He didn't take none, though. His mama and daddy both was hard drinkers. They say it's the Indian blood. Got a weakness for liquor. Drink and misery killed his mama dead. Anyway, that's all, he said. I didn't buy her that ring planning on hanging around like a dog. When she grows up and meets a nice guy, as long as he's good to her, I'll be happy. And what if she grows up and wants to marry you? Jesse Joe laughed, and damned if he didn't take out the bourbon again and add some to both our cokes. That ain't no way to run a business. Pouring me drinks while I'm on the clock. I ain't so much as picked up a wrench to put the Lewiston's mower back together. It's almost time to knock off, old man. Drink up. I could see what he meant to do, so I said, well, what if? He drained that bourbon and coke in three big swallows and shook his head. Hell, if she grows up and for some crazy reason she still wants to marry me, fine. That ring is a sincere promise. If she wanted to get married, we'd go to the courthouse and do it. You know I'm not much for going to church, but if she wanted a church wedding, we'd have a church wedding. White dress, the whole deal. And some new boots to go with it. I said it to make him laugh, because I could see it upset him. Either thinking about her wanting to marry him, or more likely thinking about her growing up and not wanting to marry him. Boy had got himself in a hell of a spot. Maybe she would outgrow the notion and he'd still be in love with her. I just hoped I'd be with my Paola before he put that gun in his mouth.
5. Wavy. October 1982. Mama kept her makeup and pills in a drawer, like secrets. Sandy spread hers out on a fancy table in her bedroom. She had lots of makeup, too, and a round plastic case with a pharmacy label on it. Real pills from a doctor. That's what I was looking at when Sandy walked in and turned on the light.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. You scared the crap out of me, Wavy. What are you doing?
Never get caught was the rule, but sometimes I was careless at the trailers. All I was really scared of was Liam catching me, so I mostly only listened for his voice.
Are you stealing stuff from me?
Or just snooping so you can report back to your mommy, Sandy said. I shook my head and showed her my empty hands. Just like that, she stopped glaring at me and smiled.
I'm sorry, honey, she said. You weren't taking stuff, were you? You were just looking.
God, you're sneaky quiet. I didn't even hear you come in. Do you like to put on makeup? Sometimes Sandy talked to me like a little kid or like I was stupid. A lot of people did. Scott used to say, she's a couple sandwiches shy of a picnic, ain't she? Before I beat him at poker, people thinking I was stupid wasn't all bad. Sometimes they told me secrets because they knew I wouldn't repeat them.
Do you want to try on some of my makeup? Go on and sit down, Sandy said. I took a step toward the door, but she was in the way.
No, don't go, honey.
I'm sorry I yelled at you. You just surprised me.
Don't go.
Sandy wasn't like Dee, who only talked nice to me when other people were around. Plus, she had come with Kellen to get me from the sheriff's office, even though Liam hit her for that. She walked over to the makeup table away from the door. She wasn't going to make me stay.
You need something pale. Pink, because you're so fair. This is a good color, this lipstick. It's called Cherub's Kiss. Do you like this one?
She said it so sing-songy, so nice, the way she talked to the cat who lived under the porch.
Kitty, kitty, do you want some of my tuna sandwich?
I put my finger on the box of brilliant blue and green eyeshadow squares. It was like a set of watercolors, but more beautiful.
That's eyeshadow. You have to be careful because you're so fair.
Dee wears too much eye makeup because her eyebrows and her eyelashes are pale. But that's not right.
You're a natural beauty, so you don't need much makeup. But when you're older, you'll have to stay out of the sun or you'll wrinkle.
We went down the table with me touching things and Sandy telling me what they were. Mascara, eyeliner, lip liner, blusher, eyelash curler. I liked how she explained everything. Mama never explained anything. She just made rules, and that was that. I put my finger on the plastic case from the pharmacy.
Oh, that's not makeup, honey. That's my pills. Are you old enough to know about where babies come from?
I nodded. The health class textbook called it intercourse, but the book's drawings didn't look anything like real fucking.
Well, those are the pills I take so I don't get pregnant, because a lot of guys don't like to use condoms. Your daddy sure doesn't. Anyway, that's what those pills are for. Now, let's put some makeup on you. Is that okay? If I touch you?
I shook my head. I didn't want to be mean, but there were rules. Liam touched Sandy, and if she touched me, it might be the same thing as Liam touching me.
Well, maybe I can show you and you can put it on yourself.
Sandy showed me how to use the little wand to smudge on eyeshadow. She gave me lipstick, too, but I didn't like the idea of touching the tube to my mouth.
Well, you can rub your finger on it and put it on your lips, she said.
I did it that way, using my little finger to smooth the pink stuff on my lips.
Don't you look pretty? Oh, and your ring! Where did that come from? Are you supposed to be wearing that?
Sandy frowned.
Kellen.
It was the one word that was always safe to say.
Kellen gave you that?
The rule was that only people Kellen knew could know about the ring. That meant Sandy was safe.
We're getting married, I said.
Sandy giggled and clapped her hand over her mouth.
Are you teasing me? Because that's the only thing you've ever said to me besides no.
To show her, I did what Kellen did. Kissed the ring. My lips left behind a little smudge of pink on the diamond.
Wow. It's gorgeous. That's your engagement ring? He must really love you if he bought you that. So you love him too?
I nodded. Sandy looked like she was going to cry, but she rubbed her nose and laughed.
That's really sweet. You're lucky. He must love you a lot.
I was careless, listening to her and not paying attention to anything else.
Sandy, Liam called down the hallway.
I shook my head to warn her, but she answered,
Yeah, baby?
He was almost outside the door, saying,
Where have you been? I gotta get on the road.
The only choice was the closet. I stepped into it, but it was so full I could only wriggle into the perfume and smoke-smelling clothes. I didn't even have time to close the door. I crouched down, holding my breath, and watched the bedroom door open. Under the edge of Sandy's clothes, I saw Liam's legs. He wore jeans with creases down the fronts, and shiny red pointy-toed cowboy boots.
I gotta go. Kellen's waiting on me, he said.
Where are you going?
Sandy said.
I told you. Business.
Yeah, but business or business.
Don't get smart with me.
Liam shoved Sandy down on the edge of the bed. That was what happened if you got smart with him.
Oh,
she said.
I don't need Kellen to help me take care of business.
Asshole.
Liam grabbed her hair and pulled. He liked to pull hair as much as Kellen liked to pet it.
Come on, baby, don't be that way. Why don't you do a little something for me before I go?
Maybe I don't want to.
He let go of her hair and put his hands on his belt.
You don't want to, or you won't, 'cause maybe Dee will.
Sandy sat there, squeezing her hands together on her lap. Then she slid off the bed onto her knees.
That's right, Sandy baby. Why don't you suck it the way I like?
I knew what cocksucking was. I'd seen it before, in Kellen's magazines, at a party. Once I saw Mama do it with a man I didn't know. It made my stomach nervous, because the mouth was a dirty place, a dangerous place, a way for people to get into you. Not safe. And Liam wasn't nice. He made Sandy gag and say,
"Oh, don't, Liam. I'm doing it the way you like."
After he made her cry, Liam said nice things. He told Sandy how beautiful she was and how much he loved her. That's what he always did after he hurt you. Then he pulled up his pants and laughed. I listened for the sound of the door closing, for him going down the hallway. I listened for Kellen, too, but he must have been outside already. When I crawled out of the closet, Sandy was sitting on the bed, wiping her eyes. She looked up and said,
"Oh, Jesus, honey, I forgot you were here. Did you see that?"
I shrugged. Sandy sniffled.
"I guess you're getting your education tonight. It's not always like that. He's good to me, but he gets in these moods."
I knew about Liam's moods.
"Oh, jeez. Stupid jerk got cum on my shirt."
Sandy pulled her shirt off, and under it she wore a leopard print bra. She had big tits. Bigger than Mama's and Dee's together. Looking at myself in the mirror, I put my hands on my chest. I was starting to grow there, but my dress was too loose to see anything.
"It takes time, honey. They don't grow overnight."
Sandy cupped her hands over her bra. "I didn't always have these. I had to buy these, so I know a few tricks for how to make it look like you have more than you do. A lot of girls make the mistake of getting a big bra and padding it, but what you need to do is show off what you've got. Stay here. Just a second." Sandy was like Donald. When he got hurt, he only cried a little and then he was happy again. She went out of the room and came back with a blue t-shirt that looked like one of Donald's. Out of the closet, she pulled a fluttery blue skirt. "Here, take off your dress. Your undershirt, too." I usually only took off my clothes to wash or swim. Now that I was growing, there was more of me to be naked. But Sandy was smiling, so I knew it was safe. Like playing dress-up with Leslie and Amy when I was little. I put on the t-shirt that was too tight and the skirt that was too loose until Sandy cinched it up around my hips. I was going to turn around and look in the mirror, but Sandy said,
"No, no, take off the shirt."
Picking up a pair of scissors, she cut off the collar of Donald's shirt and made the neck of it go into a V. When I put it back on, it was still tight, but it didn't feel like it was choking me. Then Sandy let me look in the mirror. "See," she said, "you have cute little boobs, and this way guys can tell you have them. I bet Kellen would like it if you wore that for him." Except for my hair, I didn't recognize me. My eyes looked strange with the makeup on, more grown up. I looked older. I knew Kellen loved me. He bought me a ring, and his bike was only for me. But Sandy was right. The women in his magazines had big tits like her, and it wasn't just in the magazines. I'd seen how he looked at Sandy in her tight shorts and Dee when she went around the house in her nightie. He might look at me like that if I wore this.
"God, I don't know about you, but I need a pick-me-up," Sandy said.
At least she didn't make a mess with the crystal like Mama. She had a little spoon that went into the bottle and up her nose.
"No. You better not. You're definitely not old enough for this."
6. Kellen. I knew I ought to leave. For 2 hours I'd been lying on Wavy's bed watching TV with her. The antenna could only pick up PBS, so we watched that Jimmy Stewart movie with the Invisible Rabbit. Then it went to something with singing and dancing. Maybe the Lawrence Welk show. But it was hard to tell through the fuzz. It didn't matter. The TV was just to say, we're watching TV, when all we were doing was lying next to each other. Sometimes talking. Mostly not. It was foggy that night. Not cold yet, but we'd seen the last of September. I really wanted another night in the meadow, but the only stars out were the ones on Wavy's ceiling. Downstairs, the night nurse was watching TV too, and probably wondering when I was going home. I'd tried about a half an hour before, and that's when Wavy showed me a crumpled-up note from a boy in her algebra class. It said, "Dear Wavy, I like you a lot. Will you go to the 8th grade dance with me? You don't have to talk to me if you don't want to. Do you like me even a little?"
Jimmy Didier.
She'd answered him on his own note, with her fancy handwriting. Jimmy, not even a little. And I think my fiancé would be very angry to find out you're writing me notes like this. Please don't do it again. Miss Wavona Quinn. It was sad but funny. Sad that the boy got his heart broken, wadded up the note, and threw it back at her. Funny how Wavy answered him. Funnier how she showed it to me, not bragging, but embarrassed.
"I broke the rule," she said.
"You know, if there was a boy you liked, you could go to the dance with him. I wouldn't be mad." I made myself say it with a smile. To be fair to her, I didn't have no business keeping her from that kind of thing. Her answer was to punch me in the chest, hard enough that it stung. Then she patted the place she'd punched. I was the boy she liked. When she held out her hand, I kissed the ring to apologize. She wore it everywhere, including school, even though we were still working out who could know. Teachers? No way. Kutchin and Roger? Yes. Donald, Dee, and Sandy? And that meant Liam knew.
I'd been worried at first, but then I figured if Liam didn't like it, he could come out and say something instead of pretending Wavy didn't exist.
Val? Who could tell what Val knew? The only trouble I had was at the lab barracks one night when Butch said, "All I'm gonna say about this wedding ring business is there's a special place in hell for folks who hurt children." You don't have to tell me that. I was mostly thinking of Liam, but I knew what Butch meant. "You know what I've heard," Neil said. "I heard if you get a girl young enough, if you're the first guy to fuck her, it'll make her pussy so..." We never got to find out what he heard, because I went across that poker table and grabbed the son of a bitch by the throat. Then I squeezed his windpipe hard enough to give him a taste of what going without air for the rest of his short life would be like. Butch, who usually made peace, didn't say boo. I liked seeing the ring on Wavy's finger. It gave me an excuse to kiss her hand, and when I did, she always smiled. That's what I was doing while we watched TV. Kissing her hand and petting her hair the way she liked, when I heard footsteps creeping up the stairs. My first thought was to get off the bed and quick, before the nurse got to the top of the stairs. Except I wasn't doing nothing wrong. We were just watching TV. If Patty wanted to spy on us, that's what she'd see. It was only Donald, coming to crow about how good he was at sneaking around now that he had the cast off his arm.
"I came up the meadow all in the fog and snuck in here. The nurse didn't even hear me."
"You keep talking like that and she will," I said.
"You didn't hear me either, creeping up the stairs."
"Did," Wavy said.
"What are you guys watching?"
Donald leaned over the foot of the bed looking at the TV upside down. "Lawrence Welk," I said.
"Let's go swimming."
Wavy sat up and nodded. Donald and her went down first, as quiet as they could. I stomped down after them, calling out, "Val, Patty, I'm going. Have a good night." Then all three of us went out the door, across the porch, and into the meadow. Even with Donald's flashlight, we could hardly see through the fog. The windmill snuck up on us, a creaking rusted tower coming out of a wall of white. Donald stripped down and went into the stock tank, yelling,
"It's cold."
"What'd you expect?"
"Get in, Kellen."
"No, I didn't bring any shorts to swim in." Beside me in the fog, Wavy was getting out of her boots and dress.
"I didn't bring any shorts either."
Donald was as loud as Wavy was quiet. He splashed over to the edge of the tank and said,
"I'm totally buck naked."
"Well, I'm not getting buck naked."
"Why not?"
"Because Wavy's not my sister," I said.
"She doesn't care." "I don't."
Wavy tossed her dress over my shoulder and stepped into my arms.
"I do."
"Up,"
she said.
I put my hands on her waist and lifted her up to the lip of the tank, where she balanced on the balls of her feet like a tightrope walker. Holding onto her hand, I walked her around the tank's edge. Then she let go of my hand and tumbled backwards into the tank with a splash that made Donald hoot.
"Do me next."
So I balanced him on the tank edge and let him fall in. They had so much fun, I sometimes wished I wasn't scared of water. Anyway, it was my job to keep track of Wavy's dress and Donald's flashlight, so I leaned against the tank and watched them laugh and splash around. After a while, Wavy circled back to me and held out her hand. I took it, thinking she wanted me to help her out, but she slung her other arm around my neck and tried to pull me in. There was no way she could do it, and after a second she let go and fell back in. She hauled herself halfway out of the water, her hips against the tank edge. "What the hell was that?" I said. Damn, she cracked me up, thinking she could pull me off my feet.
"Mermaid?"
"I didn't know mermaids attacked people and tried to drown them. You're like something out of that Friday the 13th movie."
She grinned, and before she sank back under the water, I saw something I wished I hadn't. With her undershirt plastered to her, there was no way to avoid knowing she had tits now. I felt like an idiot for being shocked, because she was growing up, and not just taller. I figured I'd tell one of Liam's girls to take Wavy shopping and get her some bras. Except if I did, would Dee or Sandy think I was a pervert for noticing? Anyway, I got over being bothered by buying maxi pads for Val. For all I knew, I was buying them for Wavy, too. When she wrote them on the shopping list, I didn't ask who they were for. It couldn't be that hard to take her into a store and say, "She needs a bra." Except Wavy might think I was a pervert for noticing. I was still worrying it over in my head when she swam back to the edge and held out her hands. "You can get yourself out. I'm not falling for that mermaid shit again," I said. I guess I sounded more pissed off than worried, because she gave me a sad look and crossed her heart. Drew an X over her little tit where her nipple stood out hard under the wet undershirt. Wasn't gonna be able to forget that either. "Yeah, yeah, you promise." When I turned my back to her, she touched my arm.
"I'm sorry."
It wasn't her fault, I felt weird. So I hauled her up on my back, dripping water all over. I tried to set her down, but she hugged me tight around my shoulders and kissed the side of my neck. With her teeth chattering in my ear, she whispered,
"I love you."
That was all I cared about.
7. Wavy.
"Wavy, your mom's a little upset. Could you come down and talk to her?" Patty said.
I liked Patty okay. She was better than Casey the day nurse, who had a big smiley voice. It was Patty's job to be there at night and listen to Mama cry and say awful things. She sounded scared. I was getting ready to go riding with Kellen, but I went downstairs. At least the nurses didn't let Mama lie in bed all day and not wash. I was learning their tricks, how to say, "Let's get up and brush your teeth. Little steps. Sit up first and then we'll try to stand up." At first, Mama had been horrible to look at. Black and purple and then green and yellow. But now she was just Mama. Crying and screaming, "Alone!" I went into her bedroom and closed the door, trying not to be angry that she was stealing time from Kellen. I stood next to the bed, but I didn't touch her. All Mama wanted was someone to listen. First it was Grandma.
Grandma always liked Aunt Brenda better. Grandma never liked Liam. She never came to visit when Donald and I were born. But how could Grandma come visit if Mama never told her where we were? Then Liam. Liam and his dirty whores. Liam always thinking with his dick. Liam, Liam, Liam. I was old enough to know there wasn't any real magic in the words, not to be trusted, but it made my head hurt now how Mama would say his name over and over without that protection. Like she wanted him to come and hurt her. You can't trust them, baby. As soon as they've got your pussy, they want some other girl's pussy. Liam, that's all he wants. Notches in his belt. Sean, too. That's all I ever was. A score. And don't think that diamond ring means anything. Mama grabbed my hand and glared at my ring. Kellen bought you that, didn't he? Liam says, hell, in some countries I'd have to pay him to take her off my hands. He thinks it's funny. And you're so stupid you think it's romantic. Let me tell you a secret. That ring doesn't mean shit. I jerked my hand away and hid it behind my back. Kellen is like every other man. All he's thinking about is getting to fuck you. That's all they think about. I thought when Liam put a ring on my finger, he would love me forever, but it was a lie. You want that ring, too? I sure don't need it. Mama tried to reach for the night table drawer, but her shoulders still hurt. She flopped back on the bed and moaned. Tears ran out of her. So much water it was like a flood that I soaked up with the corner of the sheet. Is everything okay? Patty said outside. Baby! Mama moaned. The mean went out of her eyes, and they were only sad. Be careful. Don't do what I did and get knocked up, because then you'll be stuck. Baby, are you listening? I didn't want to listen, but Mama petted my arm. So soft. Almost like Kellen when he touched my hair. I hoped it wasn't a trick. Make him get you on the pill, okay? Or if he won't do it, have Dee take you. Will you do that? There were so many pills. The pills Sandy took so she wouldn't get pregnant. The pills she took to make her happy. The pills Mama took. I didn't want any pills. You can't trust him, baby. He'll get into you. You can't get clean once that happens. And then he'll break your heart like Liam did mine. But you're special. Nobody can touch you, okay? Promise? Mama dug her nails into my arm. Promise me, baby. It was a trick. She was going to make me promise something, and I didn't even know what I was supposed to promise. Not to trust Kellen? Not to let him creep into me? To take the pills? That nobody would touch me? Mama was trying to ruin Kellen, to make him bad like Liam. I pried her hand off my arm. I didn't even care if it hurt her. If nobody could touch me, that was her, too. When I opened the door, Patty stood outside with her eyes big. I swerved around her and ran. 8. Donald. Wavy was lucky. She didn't have to ride the bus to school, because Kellen took her. I wished he could take me, too, but there was only room for Wavy on his bike. Other times, not for school, he let me ride, but only because I was a boy. Ricky got really mad one night, because Daddy took Dee riding and left her and Sandy at home. So Ricky asked Kellen to take her riding, but he said,
"Sorry, Wavy's the only girl who gets to ride."
What the hell does that mean? It means Wavy is a very jealous mistress, Sandy said. She wanted to go riding too, but she wasn't mad, because she took these special pills. I wished Mama would take some of those. Did you really buy her that diamond ring? There's something seriously twisted about that, Ricky said. Don't be such a tight ass, Sandy said. They're in love. It's sweet. No, it's fucking creepy. What is she, like 10? Wavy's 13, I said. Ricky was bad at math.
There's nothing wrong with me buying her a ring. She's my girl,
Kellen said.
Yeah, except for the part where you're a pedophile. Ricky wrinkled her nose up.
That's not the only thing love means. You just got your mind in the gutter. Come on, Donald. Let's go ride.
That night, I was the only one who got what I wanted, but I never got to ride to school. I had to go on the bus because nobody ever got up early enough to take me. If I asked, Sandy would call the school to say I was sick, but if I stayed away too many days, Wavy would come down to the ranch and make me get up. Then I was in trouble. On the weekends, it was easy to get up early, even earlier than I got up for the bus, because I could sneak up to the farmhouse and see Wavy. If I was lucky, she would let me get in bed with her, and she would talk to me. Before Christmas, something funny happened. I didn't get to see Wavy for 3 whole weeks because I had chicken pox and got really sick. When I went back to school, I didn't get to talk to her all week because she was at the new high school, and then Friday night was Kellen's birthday. So I got up early, early on Saturday, and I put on my Superman costume from Halloween since she never got to see it. Then I went up to the meadow to the farmhouse. When I went in, Kellen was coming down the stairs in his bare feet, carrying his boots. He must have gotten a fight on his birthday because somebody gave him a black eye. He made a funny face when he saw me, I guess because of my costume.
"Hey, Superman, you want to ride down the hill?"
he said. I just came up the hill to see Wavy.
I think she's still asleep.
But why was he upstairs if she was still asleep? Here's what I think happened. Kellen went earlier than me and got in bed with Wavy. What made me mad is that he stole all her words and didn't leave any for me, because she didn't want to talk. She let me get in bed and she hugged me, but she didn't say anything, and she was naked under the covers. I felt her boobies against my arm. "Yuck! Where's your nightgown?" I said. She lifted her hands over her head. I wanted her to talk to me, but she was looking at her ring. The rule was, nothing belongs to you, but I think she was breaking the rule. If somebody tried to take that ring, she'd sock them. It was her ring. Kellen bought it for her so he could marry her. If it wasn't Wavy, I didn't know how he could like a girl that much. They're kind of gross. She let the sun sparkle off the ring so it made little rainbows on the walls and on me. I liked that almost as much as I liked her talking.
9. Casey. December 1982. On the last Friday of Casey's duty, Wavy came home in the afternoon and took a shower. That was strange enough, but then she went up and down the stairs a few times between her bedroom and the bathroom. Casey listened to it all curiously, while she coaxed Val into doing a few exercises. Val's lassitude wore even Casey out, so they were watching TV when Wavy came downstairs. Instead of her usual jumper, she wore a pale green dress with a fitted bodice and delicate shoulder straps. She was starting to develop, and the dress showed that off, fitted around her little breasts and her narrow hips. The outfit looked expensive, but of course, she wore big heavy boots with it. In one hand, she carried a matching sweater and a camera. Under her other arm, she had a wrapped package. She put the box and the camera on the coffee table and sat in the rocking chair next to the sofa, carefully, like she was worried about rumpling her dress. "You look very pretty. Are you going to a birthday party?" Casey said. Wavy nodded and reached up to adjust her hair. She'd pulled it up into a chignon, but it was already slipping out. Delicate strands of blonde fell around her ears, and it looked like she had sneaked some of her mother's makeup. 13 seemed too young to be wearing makeup, but Casey wasn't her mother, who was sitting right there on the sofa. If she thought Wavy looked too adult, she didn't say anything about it. All Val said was, "What's in the package?" Wavy didn't answer. "Is Kellen coming to get you, to take you to the party?" Casey said. He took her to school every morning, and he was the one who brought her home so late or not at all, according to Patty. As for Mr. Quinn, Casey had seen him maybe half a dozen times in the 4 months she worked for him. At first, he was attentive and gentle with Val, but the last time he came, they argued. The kind of argument Casey had overheard many times. Him saying, "You're not trying. You don't even want to get better and be with me." Her saying,
Why should I try? Is Dee still at the ranch? Is Sandy? Is that little cunt Ricky still at the ranch? I wish you'd left me there to die on the side of the road.
Well, you know what, baby? I wasn't the one who called 911. Kellen did that.
After that, Mr. Quinn kept paying Casey and Patty, but he didn't come back. His brother Sean visited occasionally, and that seemed to do Val more good than her husband's visits. He got her talking, made her laugh. On the last day of an assignment, Casey liked to wrap things up by offering last-minute advice and encouragement. With Val, it seemed like wasted effort. Instead of talking, they sat in front of the TV as Casey's time there ticked away. At 6 o'clock, she would go home for the weekend, and on Monday, she would start a new assignment. Normally, Wavy went outside as soon as she heard Kellen's motorcycle, but that evening she stayed in the rocking chair, smoothing her dress like she was nervous. The engine cut off, and for several minutes, there was silence except for Val's TV program. Then the sound of boots on the front porch. Casey had never seen the front door used, but that night Kellen even rang the bell. Wavy got up and opened the door for him. He came in looking nervous and frowned in confusion when Wavy handed the package to him. Casey scooted forward on her seat, curious despite the fact that she might never get to tell Patty about this.
"This is for me," he said. "You didn't need to get me anything."
The rocking chair groaned under his weight when he sat down. After he tore off the wrapping paper, he looked into the box with a blank look on his face. Then he lifted out what looked like a cast-iron pot. No, a motorcycle helmet. He turned it over in his hand, forcing a smile.
"I really appreciate it, sweetheart, but you know I don't ever wear a helmet."
Frowning, Wavy slid her hand around the back of his neck and into his hair. Kellen nodded.
"Yeah, you're right. If I'd been wearing a helmet that day, I wouldn't have gotten my head so banged up." "Okay, okay. You ready to go? You look really pretty, but it's cold out there. Are you going to be warm enough in that?"
Out of the closet, she took a fleece-lined leather jacket and put it on over the sweater that matched her dress. Then the camera was remembered and the jackets came back off. Casey didn't wait to be asked. She picked up the camera and posed Wavy and Kellen side by side. Because of the size difference, the camera had to be turned on end to make them both fit in the frame. Neither of them smiled for the picture, as awkward as high school prom dates. 10. Kellen.
For the longest time, I'd been trying to give Wavy her poker winnings, but she kept saying no. When she finally asked for some money, it was to take me out for my birthday, to this really nice steakhouse in Garinger. I'd been there once before with Liam and some of his friends, but they were all tweaking and made too much noise for that place. It was quiet, with nice carpet and leather booths and chandeliers. I didn't want the waiter looking down his nose at Wavy, so I got a haircut, and I wore a new pair of jeans without grease stains, with the one and only dress shirt I owned, the one I wore to my ma's funeral. That was about as dressed up as I knew how to get. I wasn't too sure about me, but Wavy looked like she belonged there. She went floating across the dining room after the hostess, that fancy dress swishing, and her neck all bare. We had a corner booth with candles on the table that made Wavy's hair like a halo around her face. "You're so pretty," I said after the hostess was gone. I'd already told Wavy that a bunch of times, but she seemed to like it. And she was beautiful. I figured her dressing up was part of my birthday present, so I ought to let her know I appreciated it. I ordered for both of us, which I'd been told was what a gentleman was supposed to do. Then I ordered a bourbon and Coke, which was probably not a gentleman's drink. After the salads came, the waiter left us alone. "You know, this is the first time a girl ever took me on a date," I said. That made Wavy smile. She pressed her lips together and held her breath.
"Happy birthday," she said.
"Thanks. Aren't you glad I didn't show up at your house drunk off my ass in the middle of the night this year?"
"I like that birthday."
She exhaled too fast.
ended up with not enough breath to get her to the end of the sentence, so the last part didn't make any noise at all. When she reached across the table, I took her hand and turned it over so the ring picked up the candlelight and sparkled. So did I. I felt like such a jackass waking you up, but then you were so nice, like you were glad to see me. Wavy was maybe getting ready to say something else, but the waiter came back before she could. He looked at our hands together on the table, but I didn't pull mine back. It wasn't none of his business. Are you finished with your salads? I was. Wavy hadn't touched hers, but the waiter took them both away when she nodded. After our dinners came, she pushed her plate off to the side to watch me eat. When the waiter came back with my third drink, he said, Is there a problem? Is her entree not to her liking? No, it's fine. She'll just need a box. We got to giggling after the waiter was gone. Wavy took her fork and moved the food around on her plate, and I ate a few bites to make it look better. After I finished my steak, she scooted around the booth to sit next to me. Her dress strap was slipping down her arm, so I lifted it back into place. I couldn't believe how soft the back of her neck was, where her hair was sneaking out of its pins. I'd never seen her hair up like that. This is a really nice birthday present. You planning it for me. Nobody ever did that for me. She kissed my cheek, and that was when the waiter came back with the check. I didn't say a word when Wavy added up the tip and counted her money into the leather folder. I wanted to let her give me something. It was important to her. She picked the movie, not Annie, which was a kid movie, or Porky's, which looked dirty. Poltergeist. I was the one jumping in my seat at the scary parts. She laughed and squeezed my hand. After the movie, we went by the store for ice cream. She paid for that, too. At home, I made myself another drink, and even though I knew she wouldn't eat it, I scooped up two bowls of ice cream. She carried hers out to the living room, cupped in both her hands like a prize. I turned on the TV to some old movie on PBS and settled into my recliner. Wavy stood there, waiting for an invitation. Well, come on. I patted my knee. Like I figured, she wasn't going to eat her ice cream. She put it on the coffee table before she sat on my lap. Somewhere in the last 5 years, she must have been eating something, because she'd grown. There was a time when she fit all the way in my lap, but now her legs were long and her head reached my shoulder. The way she leaned into me was the same, though. She trusted me. When I pushed her dress strap up, she shivered. But then my hands were cold from the ice cream. The movie was just background noise. While Wavy watched me eat my ice cream. Mint chocolate chip. That was what she picked. After I set the empty bowl on the coffee table, she handed me my drink and scooted further up my legs. She leaned into me real nice, slipped her arm around my neck, and put her cheek up against mine. That moment was a good birthday present by itself, just to sit with her and be happy together. During the movie, her hair had come out of the bobby pins, so I smoothed it out over her shoulder and snuck in a sniff. When I got that first prickly heat in my crotch, I figured it was the booze. I shouldn't have had another drink. It felt so good sitting there with Wavy, her hand stroking the back of my neck. But it didn't seem right either. Even if it was just the bourbon, I had no business letting her sit on my lap when I was worked up. "Let me up, sweetheart. I gotta step out," I said. She made this annoyed sound, but she got up. In the bathroom, I splashed some water on my face and took a piss. That put me back to rights. As soon as I sat down, she came right back to my lap. With the problem taken care of, I wanted her there. She brushed her cheek against mine, and then she gave me a cold little kiss on the corner of my mouth. Minty. "You finally ate some of your ice cream?" She nodded. "Why won't you eat it with me here?" I didn't expect an answer, because I'd asked before and never got one.
"No looking," she said.
"So if I close my eyes, will you eat your ice cream before it melts?" She thought hard about it, walking her fingers along the ribbing on my undershirt. When she got to my bare arm, she ran her finger over the scar from my wreck, staring at her ice cream the whole time.
"Cover them," she said.
Once I put my hands over my eyes, she picked up her bowl. Like I was her favorite chair, She stretched back against me and rested her head in the triangle my elbow made. I didn't cheat, wasn't even tempted to look, but I knew she was eating. First came the squeak of the spoon scooping up ice cream, then the sneaky sound of the spoon going into her mouth and coming out clean. After a couple bites, she put the bowl back on the coffee table.
"Are you done? Can I open my eyes?" I said.
"No."
She shifted in my lap to straddle me, getting her knees into the gaps between my legs and the sides of the chair. Then she rested her head on my shoulder and said,
"Lean back."
I took my hands off my eyes, but didn't open them. I eased the recliner back, and she settled into me with a sigh. When she put her cheek against mine again, I turned my head, hoping for maybe one more kiss. She gave it to me, cold and soft. The next kiss was still cool, but getting warmer. Everyone after that was warmer and softer, like ice cream melting, until she gave me a kiss that wasn't just a peck on the lips. Her lips were warm, but her tongue was still cold.
"Hey," I said. I didn't want to startle her.
"Hey."
That wasted word surprised me, so I opened my eyes. She was looking at me. I couldn't guess what she was thinking, but deep down I knew what would happen if I closed my eyes. I did it anyway. Closed them and waited for her to kiss me. It started with both of us shy, but not too long after, her mouth was full on mine, and then her tongue slipped past my teeth to my tongue, all the while her arms got tighter around my neck. After that, there was just one kiss that kept on going, which was what I liked. She let me play with her hair, and after a while I petted her bare shoulders. I wondered how it felt to her with my hand being so rough and her being so soft. To me, it was like all the skin on my palms coming awake after being asleep. Same way I felt lying under the sky at night, the stars rubbing across me, making static electricity. Until she gasped into my mouth, I didn't even know what I'd done. Slid my hand down from her shoulder to cup her little tit in my palm. She leaned into me, and her dress slipped down, leaving her naked in my hand. Her nipple went hard in the curve of my thumb, and she shivered. Made me shiver, too. I tried to pull my hand back, but she pressed hers over mine to hold it there.
"Orion," she said.
She ran her fingers down my belly to my belt buckle and unhooked it. I brushed her hand away, and I was gonna refasten the buckle, except if I sat up and did that, I figured that would be the end of her kissing me. So I pushed her hand away and kissed her some more. Her hand went right back to my belt, like a fly that won't quit buzzing around. She unthreaded the belt and opened the button on my jeans. I had to stop her. I opened my eyes and sat up, but it only made things worse. Her eyes were thunderhead dark, her lips were red from kissing, and I'd turned her hair into a tumbled mess. She was straddling my lap with her skirt riding up. Holding her by the hips, my forearms rubbed against her bare thighs. Just short of letting go of her and dumping her on the floor, I didn't know what to do. The zipper on my jeans came down with some help from her, but mostly from the pressure of a hard-on that had built up on me like a temperature gauge going into red. "Wavy, you can't..."
"I want to," she said.
She kissed me until my blood pounded in my ears, like I was fixing to have a heart attack. She held the back of my neck with one hand, and with the other, she petted my dick like it was a wild animal. Real gentle at first. Then she closed her fingers around me as far as they would go, and goddamn, when she squeezed a little harder, it was far enough. "Wavy." That was me begging, and not for her to stop. As much as I always wanted her to kiss me, I didn't have no idea how desperate I was for her to touch me like that. I couldn't even recollect how long it was since somebody besides me had. And Wavy. Wavy. Her hand was so soft, not a callus on it.
took less than a minute to get me off. As soon as I came, I knew what I'd done. My stomach turned over, and for a second I thought I was going to be sick. Oh,